Even if Karg Island was conquered, which would be a ruinous affair for us, it would not stop Iran. In truth, nothing can stop Iran. Short positions in Brent crude oil futures by producers, merchants, professors, and commercial users are up to a record $193 billion. Yeah, right now, the reason that the Western oil market has not skyrocketed in price per barrel of oil is because an enormous amount of money, like a truly, like incomprehensibly large amount of money, is being dumped into lowering its price, shorting it. The specifics on this are a little bit beyond me, I'll be honest. There's a lot of financial fuckery that other people can speak to more clearly, but here's a good summary. Short positions have doubled since the start of the year. That's interesting. The reason this is being done is to artificially lower the price. Keep in mind, okay, the price that somebody is willing to pay for a barrel of oil is a social construct, right? A person could pay $1. A person could pay $1 million. Whatever, I don't know. I'm sure you could pay any amount. You could pay negative money. You could go into that. That happened during COVID. Some barrels of oil were worth negative money. They'd pay you to take them. But at the end of the day, it's a physical commodity, which means that no matter how much you fuck with the price, and oh boy, is the price being fucked with right now. You want to see it? Look at that. Take a look at this massive drop this morning. Huge amount, over $100 billion in shorts put in. A deliberate effort to depress the price. I mean, it has been fluctuating like crazy. Very, very, very abnormal. The goal here, of course, is to keep us from feeling the hurt for as long as possible. Though it's not helping with fuel prices. The problem, though, is, again, this is a real commodity. Oil is a physical thing that exists in the real world. The scarcity of oil is therefore not something that you can work around with clever financial maneuvering, you know? You can short the position as much as you want, but the lack of oil will eventually hit you. And of course, the goal here isn't just to delay the consequences of our war in the Middle East. It is also to inside trade like a motherfucker. We are inside. This is the level of insider trading that has never been seen, I think, in human history. I would have to, I don't know, a financial historian would have to weigh in on it. 2 minutes before that Iran post, the post where Trump said that he's extending the 48-hour ultimatum for Iran to a 5-day ultimatum, which coincidentally would mean that it ends after markets close on Friday. Really interesting. 48 hours, which begins on a Friday and or on a Saturday, but then 5 days extended, which ends on a Friday after markets closed. Really interesting stuff. Somebody purchased 42,000 lots in a single trade. This trade would have made a profit of $500 million in half an hour for whoever bought this. Again, this level of insider trading is unprecedented in human history. The specific post that he made, by the way, that led to this massive drop in the price, hence the futures, is this. I am pleased to report that the United States of America and the country of Iran have had, over the last 2 days, very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East. Iran responded after this, saying that they had not had any talks with the U.S. So that's we're in a very weird position where we are checking in with the government of Iran to see whether or not the president is lying to us, but that's unironically where we're at right now. There are no peace talks. Iran has restated its claim, as it's been consistent on, that in order for this war to end, not only will all sanctions on Iran need to end, but also we will need to pay them reparations for the damage that we've done. I imagine at this point it would be pretty substantial reparations. So, in other words, the war right now for Trump and for the people around him is a financial instrument that is being used to fleece as much money out of the market as possible. Every time the market goes up and down and up and down, and he's done this many times, he did it with tariffs too, he's doing it now with the war, people close to Trump who are insider trading make billions of dollars because they short at the right time, they buy in at the right time, they sell high and they buy low over and over again. But there is a problem with this strategy. So far, it seems like this strategy of ignoring, oh yeah, but you can see down here, I have instructed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a 5-day period, subject to the success of the ongoing meetings. There are no ongoing meetings. No meetings are ongoing. Why is the market even responding at this point? Because, again, the market is trying to be the guy doing the insider trading, you know? You look at the market and you see irrationality. It's the system that's irrational. The system here is incentivizing people to try to follow the curve of market manipulation so they can also get a piece of the pie. By and large, this doesn't work. The people who are profiting overwhelmingly are the ones with insider information, not retail investors chasing their coattails. This is the same thing that happened with people trying to make it big off of meme coins, crypto scams, NFTs. People who were buying into them immediately understood that it was all a pump and dump. They just wanted to be on the pump side rather than the dump side. People didn't buy into meme coins because they thought it was an innovative new currency. They did it because they'd seen other people get rich off rug pulls with meme coins. It's a grifter economy, you know? Everyone is just trying to be the guy who fucks over everyone else. No one actually believes in this. The people who's investments or divestments are causing market fluctuations, they don't actually think it's changing the war. They just want to also make the money off the market manipulation. Why does anyone even play the market if they're not on the inside? That's a great question. Why do people play at casinos? That's the answer. It's as simple as that. Wall Street's a casino. Anyone who tries to tell you otherwise is lying to you or is uninformed. The house always wins. These people, in this case, the house is Trump's administration, people with insider information, they always win. You might get lucky and chase the coattails. Maybe. You might ambulance chase your way to a skipping a red light or two. But that's it. Speaking of pump and dump, did you see how somebody placed a $1.5 billion bet on stocks going up and dumped $200 million in oil 5 minutes before it happened? Yep. Yes, I saw that one too. Really, really incredible. Again, I don't think there's any historical precedent for this level of insider trading. Just 5 minutes before Trump's announcement to halt the attacks in Iran, massive trades reportedly hit the market. In one move, $1.5 billion in S&P 500 futures was bought, while $200 million in oil futures was sold. The orders were four to six times larger than anything else at the time. The traders seemingly made huge gains. Enormous amount of money. Huge, 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 huge. There is one problem with this strategy, like I alluded to before. In spite of how fake everything seems, in spite of all of the financial manipulation and the seeming illusory nature of prices, is real. War is real. And Iran is not ending the war. Iran has made it very, very clear that their conditions for the end of this conflict involve concessions that the United States and Israel are probably not willing to make. Namely, an end to sanctions and reparations for the damages done. In all likelihood, they probably also would require Israel to stop invading Lebanon. That also seems like a good prerequisite, in my opinion. And America and Israel are not going to cede these demands. So far, they're being more persistent than others expect. What we're doing is building a bubble. The longer we try to hold off on acknowledging the increased oil prices, the harder it's going to hit. Think of it like a margin call, you know? You push down the price of oil over and over and over and over again, but it's like a rubber band pulling. The real price of oil, as reflected by the actual scarcity of the real resource, is going up and up and up and up and up. And you keep putting money into the market, you keep dipping, you keep shorting it, and it goes down. But eventually, the amount of money that it will take to continue to pretend that oil prices haven't gone up will be unsustainable. Nobody will be willing to put that much money in, and they will rubber band back up, probably actually even higher than the normal price. Like, they will rubber band beyond where the price has been pushed to. It will hit very, very quickly. What I'm describing is, and again, I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not going to pretend that I am, but I have seen other people talk about this. I've read the Financial Times articles. I've read the Semaphore articles. My understanding is that what I'm describing right now is basically inevitable. We, by trying to manipulate the price of oil in the futures market for the Western oil market, we basically guaranteeing that we experience this rubber banding effect. So, you know, it's not great. In a way, Iran is now the shot caller for this conflict. America doesn't want to really wage war. America just wants to use this conflict as a rubber band that they can pump and dump over. Israel, of course, wants mass death, as they are wont to do. Iran is the only one that really has the power to decide how long this war goes on. And they want it to keep going. What they're essentially doing is that, you know, Trump keeps like indecisively wavering between what like degree of conflict we're in. And Iran is consistently saying, no, we're still in a war. You bombed us and we're going to keep bombing you. And they're still bombing. They're still bombing. So the linchpin is Karg Island? No. Even if Karg Island was conquered, which would be a ruinous affair for us, it would not stop Iran. In truth, nothing can stop Iran. It seems like Iran is just prepared to fight us. Really, truly prepared. Unlike us, the brittle-boned, thin-skinned Americanoids, who are not prepared for death and suffering, the people of Iran have long been prepared for both, and so they are willing to fight through with us. Much as Russia underestimated the resolve of Ukraine, so too have we underestimated the resolve of Iran, and we will suffer greatly for it. Yes, I saw Lindsey Graham comparing the hypothetical invasion of Karg Island to Iwo Jima. Yes. Do you think it's more likely we end up using the Marines to help Israel and Lebanon? No. I don't think we're going to help Israel with Lebanon. Will Iran controlling the strait curb Israel a little, or does Israel just not care? Israel just wants mass death. I don't know if that's going to stop them. It seems like Iran has the ability to remind America and Israel that the war is real, though. And what they would do in order to facilitate that outcome is they would start striking power facilities, as Trump threatened to do with them. Power facilities, desalination plants, whatever they need to do to bring the region to a halt. If they did this, potentially millions could die. The strikes on desalination plants in particular could lead to maybe the world's worst drought crisis ever, depending on how widespread the damage is. All of this is a consequence of Israel and America's behavior. Did you hear about Israel torturing a baby to try to get a guy to confess? You mean like putting the cigarette out and stabbing the one-year-old to get the father to confess to a crime? Yes, I heard about that. Most moral IDF behavior yet recorded. Is there any possible universe where this war has a good outcome? Well, in my mind, America and Israel are totally, totally detached from reality. America is just using this as an instrument of financial manipulation, which is very American, and Israel just wants mass death. You know, Israel is just, they're just like salivating over the oceans of blood that they're going to spill. In my opinion, the actual best case scenario here moving forward is that Iran does so much overwhelming damage to the infrastructure in Israel and its allied Gulf state nations that they permanently destroy Israel's ambitions for greater Israel. Because the problem is, and again, like this is my perspective, but I've been clear in it and consistent. My perspective is that Israel and America, as things are right now, won't stop. They'll just keep doing it over and over and over again. Again, Israel calls it mowing the grass, but like they have demonstrated for years, for decades, that this violence that they inflict on the Middle East is a nonstop affair. And it seems like they're only getting more emboldened over time, less attached to reality. So from my perspective, again, it's they win or they're stopped. Who will stop them? Iran has the potential now to stop them, I think, I hope, without prompting Israel to use nuclear weapons. That's my hope. But what happens if Iran backs down now and 5 years down the line, Israel is taking all of Lebanon plus the southern portion of Syria? Like, I'm actually asking, right? Like, genuinely. This is one of the reasons why I supported Ukraine against Russia, even as Russia threatened to use nuclear weapons. For one, I thought Russia was bluffing, which they were. And for two, what happens after Russia takes Ukraine? You think they're going to fucking stop there? What happens when you have like a expansionist, hyper-militarized, everyone's conscripted Russia now sharing a border with Poland? I know they already share a border with Poland right here, but I mean like real Russia, you know. You don't want that. You don't want that. You have to, when expansionist fascist empires start a moving, you have to stop them as quickly as possible. You don't want them to build momentum. The more they build momentum, the fucking crazier they get. That's how I feel about it. So what happens 5 years, 10 years down the line, and Israel's taken all of Lebanon, American government media continue to defend every fucking thing they do, and they've taken southern Syria? What happens if Israel starts threatening Jordan, meaningfully threatening Jordan? What, like, at what point does it stop? At what point does it stop? That's what I fear. It's like how Germany should have been stopped before they took Czech land. Yeah. Like, obviously, we know what appeasement does. Appeasement just emboldens them until they act further. What's about to happen? Israel's going to bomb Al-Aqsa Mosque. Okay, hold your horses. If Israel destroys the Al-Aqsa Mosque, then yes, you can start digging a hole to hide in. If that mosque gets destroyed, then yes, you can start buy like quick pour cement and start like making yourself a bunker. Can we make draft jokes if that happens? I will allow that. People can make draft jokes if they go after the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The what history lesson, please? The part of the whole Christian Jewish biblical prophecy of evangelism and of Jesus Christ returning is that the third temple will be built upon the mount, and that would mean the destruction of the mosque currently there. Basically, like the doomsday prophecy is preceded by the construction of the third temple. So if they start making moves to build it, that means that Israeli leadership is deliberately trying to bring about what to Christian evangelicals would be the end of the world. Also, the bombing of the Al-Aqsa Mosque would make Muslims really, really mad. Why hasn't Israel done it anyway? Okay, think of it this way. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is so important that even Israel hasn't bombed it. Think of it that way. Like, bombing it would be so catastrophic for relations between Israel and every Muslim country that is their neighbor, and for the world, that they haven't done it yet. That's the gist of it. Even they have withheld. The child not even Epstein has touched. That's crazy. The Ottoman Empire would reform just to invade Israel. The people would be strapping suicide vests on and charging directly at Tel Aviv from like the southernmost corner of Saudi Arabia and the northernmost corner of Turkey. It would invite a level of international condemnation. Even that feels like too weak of a word. Maybe even Biden would have a bad thing to say about them. Doubt it. Anyway, I guess that's my thesis for this long rambling statement. It's that Iran is not letting Trump end the war on his terms, and God bless them for that. Because an end on America or Israel's terms to this conflict would just be a forever conflict. There's no real end. It's kind of like how Western media keeps saying dumb shit like 600 people dead in bombing since Israeli ceasefire. In Lebanon, they did a ceasefire, Israel just kept bombing. In Gaza, they did a ceasefire, Israel just kept bombing. No end to the bombing, ever, ever, ever. If that's the kind of ceasefire the West wants to impose on Iran, Iran has to turn up the heat. Literally, like, the world depends on it. I mean this very seriously. What terms will Iran accept? They said they want reparations for damages and an end to all sanctions. They probably want a few other things too, like an end to the invasion of Lebanon. I think that's pretty reasonable. Like, all three of those demands align with humanitarian concerns. Why isn't Iran going full scorched earth? I don't know. You ask them. Probably because they want to keep a lot in reserve. Their goal is to win out in the long run. They are more prepared to die than the average Israeli civilian. Do you think the attack on the British base was a false flag by Israel? Well, they've done many false flags before, but it's kind of immaterial to me because Israel is so evil that I don't really care, I guess. Like, it wouldn't change my opinion of Israel. Did you know that Israel did the bombing to rope people into war with Iran? Okay. I don't know. I guess it doesn't, like, prescriptively, it doesn't really change anything. I'll blame them for it anyway. I mean, they are at fault for it anyway. The only reason that base got bombed was because America and Israel launched a completely unjustified attack on Iran. All of this is because of Israel and America. Did anyone else see that? Yes, you saw my cat jumping up in the desk. How could one virtue signal anti-Zionism while avoiding anti-Semitism? Listen, it's a distinction that's easily maintained if you're principled and knowledgeable, but Zionists will always accuse you of being anti-Semitic. Just as the most hysterical deniers of Nazi war crimes back in the 40s accused people of being anti-Germanic, you will never be able to escape their accusations. The only hope you speak factually about the world and what Israel is doing, and people will call you anti-Semitic for saying stuff like what happened after October 7th was a genocide, and you just have to not let that faze you in any way, you know? If you're a woman and a feminist, people will call you man-hating, you know? It's just the way of the world. Like, evil people will try to find terms to hurt you. Of course, you know, you also have to meet this criteria, not actually be anti-Semitic, which I think is incredibly easy. If you, like, the idea that what is happening right now is a byproduct of any innate characteristics or broader conspiracy is just unsupported by the available evidence. It's very, very easy to explain the world if you just take a simple historical materialist, you know, outlook on the relationship between Israeli and American power. That being said, right now, I'm not going to lie, as a direct consequence of Israel and Republicans and the Democrats, you know, the single loudest anti-Zionist voice we have in the United States right now is Tucker fucking Carlson. It seems like anti-Semitism is not something that the right seeks to avoid. I don't really care that much about accusations of left anti-Semitism. It seems like a falteringly tiny fraction of the overall, like, I guess, you know, it's very much like people being anti-Germanic during World War II, you know, like Kalugi plan shit or whatever the fuck it was called. Is it bad to be anti-Germanic? I guess. I mean, I don't think that Germanic people are innately evil or innately Nazis or whatever, but I don't really know if that's my highest priority at this moment. At the very least, I think you should be more, you know, suspect of people who throw those accusations around willy-nilly. Was some Allied propaganda a bit over the top? Yeah, but like, okay. You know? I mean, that's true. Yeah, I guess just, I don't know. Do I think every Germanic person's a literal barbarian? No. I do think we should, like, bomb Dresden, though. That's, yeah, I ain't reading all that, okay? free the camps, bomb Dresden, whatever, type shit. The anti-Japanese propaganda was wild, though. Yeah, I ain't got time for all that. I'm too busy piloting the Enola Gay.